Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for not only this passage, but all of the passages, all the promises. Thank you for all these wonderful, wonderful promises. Father, I just thank you, so grateful for everyone. And Father, as we open them up today, I pray that you'll open our understanding, that we'll be able to receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Next two Sundays, we're going to be talking about promises. We're going to be talking about the fulfillment of promises, and we'll give you an opportunity maybe to share about some fulfillments that you've had of God's promises in your life. That'll be next Sunday. And then we'll talk about how to claim your promise in 2 weeks, how to claim your promise. We are wealthy beyond measure. We are wealthy beyond measure. Pastor, you obviously didn't look at my checking account. I'm not talking about that kind of wealth. I'm talking about spiritual wealth. And we are wealthy beyond measure. But you know what the sad truth is? Many Christians live like spiritual paupers. All the many riches that God has given through his precious and magnificent promises, he has granted us everything that we need to live godly lives, according to 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. How about that word precious? Have you ever used the word precious? I know I've heard a lot of ladies, when they look at babies, say, isn't he precious? Isn't she precious? Huh? Familiar with that? Precious describes something very valuable and cherished. Magnificent is something splendid, superb. You see, God's promises can be defined using both of these terms because he is trustworthy. On the very day of your salvation, and that might vary with some. I know some have that down to a T. They have the exact day, maybe the even the hour. Let me tell you, if you were raised Pentecostal, you'd have various dates in your life. Because every time we had a preacher come in and preach, he preached in such a way the Holy Spirit gripped our hearts and we went running to the altar and we thought we had salvation all over again. Isn't that right, Lauren? Scotty, you grew up with me. We thought we had salvation all over again. It felt like a new experience, and that's okay. But it was very confusing. I don't think Christianity should be confusing, do you? Doesn't have to be. We make it confusing as soon as man sticks his nose in and starts messing around. We make it confusing. God never intended for Christian life to be confusing. And it shouldn't be for you either. So there is a time when you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Have you sinned since? Sure. Do you want to? No, I don't want to. But I'm glad that he still loves me and I didn't lose my salvation, like Peter used to say, like a sock in the washer. That's not the way salvation is. It's not like a sock in the washer. It's more serious than that. God made it so. To live without claiming what God has for you is like being a millionaire, I said this last week, who has a bank account but never makes a withdrawal. We have Christians living like this today. They're spiritual millionaires and have no idea because they're not making any withdrawals. So it's time for you to find out what your promises are so you can make some withdrawals. How many of you with me? You with me? You want to make a withdrawal with me? You betcha I would. Anytime you go, Roger, I'll be right with you. I'm not talking about that kind of withdrawal. I'm talking about spiritual withdrawals. Spiritual withdrawals. God promises, his promises are like a treasure chest. Does everybody know what a treasure chest is so I don't have to describe it? A treasure chest. I never found one, did you? I like to watch movies sometimes where they're searching for treasure. I like to watch movies where there's sunken ships and they go down under there and they're trying to find sunken treasures. And they found quite a few sunken treasures. The Spanish galleon, I forget how many billions worth of gold was found on it. But I've always been interested in lost treasures. Well, God has a treasure chest for us. When you got saved, You gained a vast wealth of spiritual riches, and they are now at your disposal, by the way. When you realize how much he wants to bless you, you can't help but be amazed. And let me go through this message with these examples. The Lord brought you into a relationship with him. That's one of the many promises. He brought you into a relationship with him. I'm going to try to read these scriptures. I have them marked. Let's see. Acts, John, Romans. Here we go. Romans chapter 5. And you don't have to turn to all these. You just get your pen and your paper and just write these down. You can turn up later in your time. But I'll read them for you. Chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. For that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For with when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When you trusted the Lord as your Savior, you became a child of God and a member of the household. We know in Acts it says that in such we added to the church. This is where some of these churches get the idea that when you get baptized, you are automatically a member of their church. Let me explain something to you. When you get saved and baptized, you become an immediate member of the invisible church. Are you with me? You belong to that invisible church that's made up of members all across this globe. Now, if you want to become a member of St. Thomas, we have a few requirements, but that's just so you can have something to say about this personal church. That just gives you a word to say for this personal church. So you don't have to be a member of any particular church, and you can still be a Christian. But pastors will persuade you to become members so you can get involved. Some people don't like to get involved in anything. And so pastors like to get you involved in things. There's lots of things sometimes that needs to be done in the church, and we don't have anybody to do it because you don't want to get involved. Because there's certain things, certain requirements, that we can't have you function in the church if you're not a member. Hello? You with me? You understand that? There's certain requirements that have to be made because you can't be around children if you're a pedophile. You understand me? It's why we have rules, why we have regulations, why there's certain requirements required in churches. And we need you to do certain things, and certain things require that you be a member. Okay. So much for that. Let's go on to the next one. You can have daily cleansing. 1 John 1:9, we go all the way back to right in front of Revelation. Should be there in front of Revelation. There it is. I didn't have a thing in that one. I didn't have a marker in that one. 1 John 1:9 reads, if we confess our sins and faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, that had to do with daily cleansing. The next promise we have is God's presence is continually with you. His presence is continually with you. So for that scripture, I'm going to go back to Hebrews. I did tell you. It's not Shebrews, it's Hebrews. He's the one that's supposed to make the coffee, not you. I'm just teasing. All right. I didn't forget that little joke that I don't even remember anymore where I read it. There it is, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There it is. Okay. You have the Holy Spirit who is your helper. The Holy Spirit is your helper. There we're going to go to the Gospel of John. All the way back to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Do I have a paper or clip in that? I'm not sure if I do. John, yeah, I do. John 14, 16. That's the conversation the Lord had with the disciples as he was getting ready to leave. 14, 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Jesus ascended to heaven. He promised to send his helper, which would be the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, to provide guidance and power, empower you to accomplish everything that the Lord would ask. And then you have the assurance of God's strength. We go all the way to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah for that one. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So there we have the assurance of God's strength as spoken by the prophet Isaiah. You see, when you're weak and helpless, you can rely upon our Lord, who has unlimited power and has promised to strengthen you. God himself will supply all of your needs. That's found in Matthew 6. As soon as I seen that, that's the Sermon on the Mount, because the Sermon on the Mount is chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8 of Matthew is the Sermon on the Mount. And so we go to chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Boy, that's going to hit another promise that I'm going to talk more about. And I can't say this enough. Seek first the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you quit your job to become a pastor. It doesn't mean you quit your job to be a missionary. It means you seek the Lord first. You can do that through prayer. You can do it because you love to read the Bible. Those are ways that you seek him first. You understand? You with me? Those are ways you can seek him first. Now, I want you to do that. That's the most important thing. If I say anything else, that's the most important thing I can tell you today, is put him first. Because if you're willing to put him first, all these things shall be added unto you. And that encompasses everything you can think about in this world. Things shall be added to you. He will give you the desires of your heart, but you make sure you make God your desire. Don't you put God second best in your life. You put him first. That doesn't mean second. Seek ye first, not second, the kingdom of God. Now, I could add about a few other things. We say we have idols. Well, I can name some idols today. They may not be gold, silver, or wood, but I can tell you they're idols because you put them ahead of God. Anything you put ahead of God's an idol. Anything. If you're a sportsman, I'm going to talk to you. If you'd rather go to the racetrack than be in the house of God, that's an idol. Boy, here I'm going to hit somebody. Hunters and fishermen. I like to tend the chapel in the woods. Oh, boy. Chapter and verse, give it to me. I'd like to know where that is. You ain't going to find it because you put it there. It can be an idol. Listen to me. If you put God first, God will give you the desires of your heart, and I can prove it. My life can prove that, and I'll tell you about it. Where am I at? He answers prayers. God answers prayers. Oh, let me see. All the way back again. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. 1 John. He answers prayers. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I like that. if we ask anything according to, and listen, that's a stipulation, according to his will, he hears us. All right. When you pray, he answers. By the way, prayer is one of the means of cashing in on his promises. Just take your needs to him and claim those that will apply to your situation. God is always ready to give you his best. Now, I'd like to wonder how many people in here would like to have God's best. Huh? Anybody? Nobody wants God's best, Lord. You see those no hands. Who wants God's best? Are you still with me? Shall we rattle a bell to see if you're awake or you're sleeping? I want God's best. If I could get both feet up, I'd put them up. I know how I can do that. Hey, Lord, you watching? I want your best. Now, what part of that don't anyone understand? So just go ahead, make up your own mind and make your own decisions, and I'll guarantee you, you won't have anything. You won't have nothing. But don't be disappointed, because you'll get just what you deserved, nothing. He's always ready to give you his best. If you're now, this is a stipulation. If you're living a godly life, the Lord will never withhold any good thing from you. When you have a need, he will provide it. But if you're living in an ungodly lifestyle, don't expect to receive anything from God. Are you listening to me? Don't expect to receive anything from God. So if you find yourself living in a life that's empty, it's a life that you have chosen to be so. It's not God's way. It's your way, but not God's way. You can't expect to live in an ungodly lifestyle and expect to be blessed. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work. He daily bears your burden. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He bears your burdens. I'm not done yet. I got some more promises. You need to believe in his promises, and he'll replace your worries with joy. He comforts you in times of trouble. He comforts you in times of trouble. 2 Corinthians 1:3. I'm trying to get there. There it is. Nope, I got to go 2 Corinthians. There we go, 1:3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There it is, the God of all comfort. No matter what the difficulty may be, God knows what you're going through. He will come alongside of you to bring comfort and encouragement. The Lord sets limits on your trials and temptations. He sets limits on your trials and temptations. He doesn't put more on you than what you're able to endure. Now, God made you. He made you the character that you are. And you see, some people are very stubborn. And God knows what it takes. God knows exactly what it takes. He knows what it takes to get your attention. And some of you might say, I believe I got way more than I just, my plate is so full. You know what that tells me? You're really stubborn. That's what it tells me. It tells me you're stubborn. And God's going to heap that plate on. And if you thought that was full, look out. Look out, because it's going to get a lot fuller. Because God knows what to do with you. Nobody else does. But I can guarantee you that he knows. He knows how to put it on. He knows when to stop. No matter what the difficulty may be, God knows what you're going through. He knows. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your endurance. When you think you can't take it anymore, he will provide a way of escape, so you can persevere. He grants wisdom. He grants wisdom. Got to go all the way back to get that one. He grants wisdom. According to James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given him. The Lord provides rest for your soul, all the way back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, he provides rest for your soul. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He offers physical and emotional rest to those who will be willing to come to him. God gives peace. He gives peace. Oh, so wonderful, the peace he gives. To know when you're going through all these things that's happening in your life, and he grants you such wonderful peace, 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 wonderful peace coming down like a dove. He grants you peace, peace in the midst. Whenever you bring your anxieties to him in prayer, he provides his surpassing peace. He creates an impenetrable wall that separates you from all of your worries. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your minds and your hearts through Christ Jesus. So he provides peace. And that kind of peace is hard to come by, but he provides it. You can be strong and you can be fruitful even in your old age, even as you get older. And you think, oh, what does God have in plan for me? I'm just getting too old to do anything wrong. Daniel was somewhere in his 90s when he was put in the lion's den. You can be strong and fruitful. Psalms 92. Wow, I got quite a few in there. There we go. Psalms 92. Still, there we go. Psalms 92, 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. There's the verse. In old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Wow, there it is. There it is. Here we go. He will give you the desires of your heart when you delight in him. There's the one I was looking for. I want to talk a little bit about that because I have experienced that many times, not just a few times. I have experienced it many times. I found that as I delight in the Lord does give me the very desires of my heart. But you got to delight in him. You know what that is? I enjoy being in church. I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy praying. I like to do the Lord's things. I enjoy that. If you find another enjoyment that surpasses that, you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You got some idols, and you need to work on them. That's what you got. You got some idols, and you need to be working on it. Let me give you an example. I've set desires in my heart to be for the Lord, and because of that, the Lord's giving me my desires. I've always wanted to go to the Holy Land. You know I went, and you know that I went in a time that was probably the best time you could have ever went, because I've talked to a lot of people that went there. Do you know there's places like the Church of the Nativity? There's actually a building larger than this room where there's places for people to come in. The tours come in by the busloads. There's tours. And this whole area, the Nativity, is full of people. Now, the Lord knows I can't stand. When I was a kid, I could stand all day. Do you have trouble standing? I have a hard time standing for a couple hours. I just have a hard time with it. So I have to be a little careful what I do up here, because you got to realize I'm standing, you're sitting. And so when you're standing, I probably should be sitting, because I can't handle standing. And the Lord knew that. And so we went from one place to another in the footsteps of Jesus, and we didn't have to stand anywhere. We didn't have to wait. We went in and saw everything. We took pictures. Nobody's standing in the road to take pictures. It was a blessed time. Our tourist guide kept saying, "You're blessed." "What do you mean?" He said, "I've never seen it like this. I've been a tour guide for 30 years," he said. "I've never seen it like this." He said, this church, this area, this synagogue here, he said, "This is where people stand." He said, "I've seen this full. We've stood here for 3 hours just to go through the nativity, and we were able to spend almost that much time just looking at the nativity because there wasn't nobody else there because we came right after COVID. You see, God's timing is always perfect. Always was wondering, it's got to be a good time because it's got to be fairly reasonable for me, Lord. I subscribe to Biblical Archaeological Magazine, and the prices are in there to go to the Holy Land tours, $4,500, $5,000. Lord, it's got to get cheaper than that." He brought her down to $3,000, and that covered everything. That's about the cheapest it ever will be because COVID was one of the reasons. They make a lot of money in tourism in Israel. So they're willing to bend a little bit to get people to come back. Come on back, come on, it's okay, come. And we did, and it was a wonderful trip. So seek first the kingdom of God, and I can tell you he'll give you the desires of your heart. Put him first and you'll get that trophy bass. Put him first and you'll get that trophy elk. Are you listening to me? Put him first. And you'll get the desires of your heart. Mark my word, he will do it. Because he's good for his word. He's good for it. And he will do it. Put him first. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalms 46. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge, strength, and very present help in trouble. Therefore, would not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. Lord is our refuge in times of uncertainty and danger. His presence dwells. He's always available to help us in every way. He gives you direction for life. Anybody here needs direction? Are you having to make a decision? You're not sure what to do? Seek him for your direction. He knows the pitfalls and dangers that lie ahead. He's promised to teach you which way you should go to stay on his path. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. How about that? There it is. He gives direction for your life. He heals in times of sickness. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. He heals in times of sickness. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. God never changes. You can come to him for healing, just as the people did when Jesus walked on this earth. Our Heavenly Father did it then, and he can still do it today. Don't you listen to some of those preachers that say that God's miracles were past. It was just during the early church age. Don't listen to that. That's a wrong interpretation. Because the Bible says in Hebrew, he's the same yesterday. You know when that is? All the way back in Genesis. Today and when? Forever. Everybody say forever. 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 He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All praise his wonderful name. Nothing can separate you from God's love. All the way back to Romans. You know where I'm going, I bet. Romans. Yes, Romans. What chapter? Anybody know what chapter? Chapter 8. I heard it. Chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you. His unconditional love is a possession no one can ever take from you. So when you doubt that, you need to review this passage. Jesus provides a gift of life in John's gospel. He gives you the gift of life. That would be eternal life. John's Gospel, chapter 10, 27 through 30. 27 through 30. The Here we go. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any of them be plucked out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He provides eternal life. And lastly, and certainly not least, he gives you a home in heaven. In John's gospel, as he was getting ready to leave, this is a very popular passage that's quoted, usually read very often in every funeral, most funerals. And this is a passage: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So because he rose again, he told his disciples he was going away to prepare a place and would one day return and take them there. You see, this is our ultimate hope. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Why is it that so many often forget about those wonderful promises of God? The scripture, the Bible, provides us with so much assurance of God's faithfulness. What promises has God given you that you treasure in your heart? When difficulty comes, which scripture comes to your mind that it brings you much assurance that you can go back to that scripture time and time again for comfort? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity I've had today to share your precious word. And Lord, I pray for these who've gathered here this morning. I pray, Father, that they will take these promises and claim them. They belong to them. And so, Lord, I pray that they'll claim these now. Open up this wonderful treasure chest of promises. And I pray that each and every one here today will be able to claim them. I pray for those of you that will be watching this, perhaps by way of internet. I will also pray for your family, that your family can also enjoy these wonderful riches that God has provided through Jesus Christ. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit overshadow each and every one of you. We pray that they will all continue to speak to your heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do so today. Do so before it's too late. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to invite him to come and live in your heart and say, "Lord, I want you to live in my heart. From this day forward, I want to live for you." In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.